Hello and welcome to our Bible study today. We're going to be talking about Jesus, and we're going to be talking about following exactly what he did. That's what the Bible teaches us to do. We need to know Jesus, and then we need to live like Jesus lived. That's how you are a follower of Christ. You know what Jesus did, and you do what Jesus did. That makes you a Christ person or a Christian. We're glad to be together with you. My name is Richard Massey, and I'm glad to be able to talk to you and look into the Bible with you and see what it says. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, this is where we'll begin. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Jesus." Paul said, you need to follow me. I'm trying to follow Jesus Christ. And so Paul was trying to do everything that Christ did, and he's encouraging you to do the same thing and me. And so what did Christ do? Well, in 1 Peter 2 and 21 and 22, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." We're to follow Christ. What did Christ do? Well, Christ suffered for us. Well, what should we do about that? Well, we should follow in his steps. It's exactly what the Bible says for us to do. Verse 22 says of 1 Peter 2, "Who did no sin." What are we supposed to follow about Christ? No sin. He did no sin. We try to eliminate sin from our lives. "Neither was guile found in his mouth." Christ was not a deceitful person, and neither should we be. Christ suffered. We're supposed to suffer. He did no sin. We're trying to eliminate sin from our lives. He had no guile in his mouth. We don't want to have any deceit in our mouth either. Verse 23, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." That's what we're to follow. When Christ was ridiculed by the mob at Calvary, he did not try to ridicule them back. When he was threatened, he didn't threaten someone in return. And that's the life that we're to live. We're to have this type of life in our, or this kind of mindset in our minds. 1 Peter 4 and verse 1 says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." And so we want to follow Christ. He's the perfect example. He suffered, we're supposed to suffer. He ceased from sin, we're supposed to cease from sin. 1 Peter 4 and 2 says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That's our motive as well. We're to be following Jesus, and this we're studying today how you do that. How do you follow Jesus? You have the same mind that he had. And so that's very clear. He was willing to suffer for us, and we must be willing to suffer for him. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus told men, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So what should we do to follow Jesus? We must take up our cross. What does that mean? Well, we're going to have to suffer. That's where he suffered. And taking up our cross means we're going to suffer too. And to do that, we must deny ourselves. That's what Jesus did. He denied himself. So we're to be followers of Christ. That's how you become a Christian. This is how you get to heaven. We get to heaven by following Jesus. John 14 and 6 says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the only way. We must follow him. We must have his mind in us. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We're talking about getting to heaven. We're talking about pleasing God. And this is how you do that. This is how you get to heaven. You imitate the life of Christ. Be imitators of me as I also am of Christ. Imitate Christ. Do what Christ did. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And it says in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what was the mind of Christ? Well, what we just read. Don't do anything through strife and vainglory. With all lowliness of mind, each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was in heaven. He was rich. He was richly endowed. He had comforts in heaven. But he was looking out for our good when he left heaven. And he came to an earth where he suffered and suffered greatly. And so he was minding the things of others. He was lowly of mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God, but he left heaven. He left heaven to come to help other people. Let this mind be in you. He came to this earth from heaven not to help himself, but to help you and I get to heaven. Verse 7 of Philippians 2 says, but made himself of no reputation. While he was on the earth, he didn't try for a high office. He didn't try to become a governor or a king. He did not try to become rich. He made himself of no reputation. He did not seek those things. That's the mind of Christ, helping others, not trying to be some big shot, but to be humble and lowly. That's the mind that God wants in us. That's the kind of person that will get to heaven. And then it says, took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Have this mind in you. What kind of mind? Well, the mind of a servant. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve others, Matthew 20 and verse 28. Jesus came to help other people out. He didn't have money. He didn't have position. He made himself of no reputation. He became obedient. He took upon himself the form of a servant. His mother was a plain, ordinary woman. His stepfather, Joseph, was a carpenter. They were plain, ordinary people. That's what he came to do, to be a plain, ordinary man. Not riches, not great position in this world. But then it says that he, in this passage, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he made himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be humble, not proud. Pride is what the devil wants you to be. Humble is what the Lord wants you to be. He became humble and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was completely obedient to his heavenly Father. He died on a cross. He was willing to do anything for you and I so that we could go to heaven. Have this mind in you. Suffer. Carry your cross. Be like Jesus. Try to get people into heaven. Willing to do what others will not do. Christ did the hard things. We want to do the easy things. We want to get out of life without doing too much. We want the easy way to heaven. But the way to heaven is not easy. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross and deny himself daily. Luke 9 and verse 23. We must be willing to do the hard things, willing to do what other people will not do. This is the mind that every Christian should want. And so Jesus was obedient unto death, yea, the very death of the cross, and he was rewarded for it. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. He's exalted now, but when he came to this earth, he was very, very low, very meek. He did the hard things. Have this mind in you. Be brave, be loyal, like Jesus was brave. Don't be seeking a position. Are you humble? Are you humble? Are you lowly of heart? If you're not, look at yourself. Look at the way you're thinking. You must be like Jesus in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus also had a mind to work. He didn't come here to take a vacation. He came here to do the work, and it was hard work, and it was miserable work, dying on the cross, serving his fellow man, washing their feet. He came to serve other people. In John 13, verses 1 through 17, he went around and washed his disciples' feet. He came to do work, menial work, common, ordinary servant work, and that's who Jesus was. In John 9 and verse 4, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Jesus had work to do when he came to this earth. This was not a vacation. This was not a getaway. He came down here to do some work. We need to understand that. We're not here to be on a vacation. We're here to do the work of the Lord. I want you to read with me John 4, 34 and 35. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know what a harvest is? A harvest is where you go work. You bring in the fruit. Verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Jesus came to do work, and he tells us that we need to be workers too. You are to have this mind in you, the mind of a laborer. In John 17, Jesus prayed this prayer. He prayed this. These words, verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now, John 17 and 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Christ was not down here to take a vacation. He was not staying away from work and difficult duties. He was a worker. No wonder Peter said, when he went into the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, Peter being a Jew, he went into a Gentile's house, and this is what he said. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that worketh righteousness is accepted of him. We need to be workers. That's who God accepts. Jesus pleased his Father because Jesus was a worker. Titus 2:14 says that Christ has redeemed us from all iniquity and purified unto himself a people zealous of good works. You cannot be following Christ if you're not willing to be a worker in the kingdom. You cannot disobey God. You cannot be his disciple if you're not following him. We're talking about following Jesus in this lesson. And following Jesus means you've got to think like he thinks. You've got to do what he did. You've got to be willing to suffer. You've got to be willing to do the hard things. You've got to be willing to do the work of God's kingdom. And there is great work and rewarding work to be done in God's kingdom. Furthermore, to be following Jesus, be ye followers of me, be ye imitators of me as I also am of Christ. We must be a forgiving people, a loving people, a kind people. Yes, a forgiving people. When Jesus was crucified, the Bible says, as they were crucifying him and nailing him to the cross with two robbers, two thieves, Jesus said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then after he said that, the Bible records, "And they parted his raiment and cast lots." That statement didn't mean a thing to those people who were crucifying Christ. We must be a forgiving people. There could not be a worse deed done to a person than what they were doing to Jesus right there. They were going to torture him to death. They were going to torture him on the cross. They were going to torture him until he died. There cannot be a worse deed than that. And yet Jesus said, "Forgive them." Now, he could forgive people who did the worst possible thing to another person. Brutally torture them until they died. Now, Jesus taught us we've got to be a forgiving people. In Matthew 6, he was teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, here's how you should pray. Verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." We need to think like Jesus. Well, what did he think? He was ready to obey God even if it meant death. And then when he was put to death, he forgave the people that nailed him to the cross. He was a forgiving person, and that's what we're supposed to be. That's why he taught this in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you do not forgive others, you yourself will not be forgiven. If you will not forgive others, you might as well say this, "I don't want to forgive anybody. I want to rebel against God. I want to be lost rather than forgive my enemies." You might as well say that. I don't think I know anybody that will say that, but you might as well. If you don't want to forgive your enemies, you might as well say, "God, cast me into hell because I am not going to forgive my enemies." That'd be a horrible thing, wouldn't it? In Ephesians chapter 4, here's the mind of Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." You know, that's the mind of Christ right there. And then verse 32 says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as God hath also loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Have this mind in you. Have a forgiving mind. Do not have a stubborn mind. You'll be lost if you have a stubborn mind. God wants us to have a forgiving mind, but also have a prayerful mind. The Bible says that Jesus was very prayerful. Luke 6:12, he prayed all night. Have you ever prayed all night? Jesus in John 17 prayed to his Father. In Matthew 26, when Jesus was about to be crucified, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed there three times. You know, that was the biggest day of his life when he died for our sins. And just before he did the work of God, the most difficult work ever, he prayed to his Heavenly Father. Your faith is not so very strong that you do not need God. Even Jesus needed God. He needed him before that great day of his crucifixion. Have this mind in you. Have a forgiving mind. Have a prayerful mind. Have a humble mind. Have a mind that's ready to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. Be a prayerful person. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Pray and pray and pray, and then pray some more. No prayer means you don't need God's help. No prayer means you can handle it all by yourself. I don't believe that's true about anybody. We all need God. Even God's Son needed him. And so let's have the mind of Christ. Let's be willing to follow Christ, to keep ourselves out of sin, to be willing to suffer. We're not seeking a reputation. We're just seeking to help people get to heaven. Even if it means my suffering, it means that I'm going to be a forgiving person. I'm going to be a humble person. That's what following Christ means. But it also means us having compassion on other people. In Matthew 9, listen to this. Matthew 9, are you there? Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. What did he see? He saw multitudes. Well, did he get frustrated because there was too many people there? Because it was overpopulated? Because it was crowded? Did he get frustrated? No, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no sheep. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. When he saw that multitude, he said, there's a harvest here. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now we've got crowded cities. We have crowded streets. You know what those people are? They're lost too. At the store, there's long lines. Down on the Mexican border, there are people crossing over. What do? We get mad? We get bitter about them crossing over? Or do we have compassion upon them? There are marchers in the street. Do we get mad at them or frustrated and aggravated at them? Or do we say, those poor people are lost. They need to know Jesus Christ. They need to know the way of truth. Have compassion upon them. It'll help us to be better soul winners if we will. Let's be like Jesus. Let's know what he would do, and then let's do it. Let's do the same thing. Let's have that pure mind. Let's have that humbleness, that obedience, that forgiveness, that willingness to work, that compassion that Jesus had, that servant mindset that he had. Let us be like Jesus. Let's have the renewing of our mind. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have the mind of Christ. Beloved, I'm glad to be with you today. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to this study about Jesus Christ and following him. I want to follow him, and I know that you do too. You wouldn't be listening. Let's follow Jesus. Let's read our Bibles, read about Jesus, and then let's do what Jesus did. Let's have his thoughts. Let's have his attitude. Thank you for tuning in. May God bless you. Continue to study your Bible and pray to your Heavenly Father and serve God in his kingdom. We'll talk to you later. Bye.